was wrong with my salad?
Eating your nuggets on a bed of lettuce.
Was a salad.
Yeah, but you didn't eat the salad. You ate the chicken nuggets.
Like, it's all about the garnish.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunny podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
You know, I think we're getting pretty close to 300 episodes.
Yeah.
This might be 300. I'm not sure.
So behind the scenes, we're recording a couple in advance.
Yeah.
So we have lost track of which one this is.
We have no idea.
This could be 300. Next week could be 300.
Could have been last week.
Could have been last week. Impossible to say.
Anyway, go us.
Could we look at that up right now on my computer? 100%. I will not.
Yeah, that's right. So because we're in the middle of recording, we don't want anything to go wrong.
Sure. Yeah. Could pause it.
This is a tenuous process.
I'm going to say it. Happy 300th
Happy
episode.
300.
Happy 300.
To you and the listeners. And if it's not 300, happy next week or the week after. We're getting close. I don't know. We're in the high 290s regardless.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's all the same.
It's all the same. Maybe low 300s. Who knows?
We're in our mid to late 290s.
Can't wait to get to my dirty 300s.
It doesn't have the same ring when it doesn't rhyme. Yeah.
300 flirty and thriving.
That's right. That's Beyond Sunday in a nutshell.
All right. Let's talk about Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
okay,
I love it.
Hey, Taylor Swift.
You guys T-Swift fans?
Not really, no.
Are you Jason Kelsey fans? Travis Kelsey. Is that the one? Travis Kelsey.
I don't think so.
Okay. I would say I'm more of a Taylor Swift fan than a Kelsey fan.
That's right. Fair.
Yeah.
Are they still together?
I believe so.
It's not football season, so I lost track of both of them. That's
Look, when it comes to driving around a van full of kids,
you can do
far worse than Taylor Swift.
It's true.
As a pop song listener.
Right.
Yeah. One, especially nowadays, she's a little more sweary, a little more, a little more adulty. But, in the 5 or 6 years ago, high pop, fun, it's pretty light. Yeah. So
she's got a couple bangers, I'm not I'm not a fan.
Not
I don't
Swiftie.
Understand the lore around Taylor Swift or anything like that. Yeah. I have no idea what's happening.
You're not paying multiple thousands of dollars for a ticket to her Eras tour.
No. I am not.
No.
But apparently you can't even remember if you go to, have you heard about this? Like people who go to the Eras tour are like, I don't remember 90%.
They all black out.
Right.
I think that might just be memory.
Right.
It's hard to remember.
Are you okay?
You can watch that. It's on Disney Plus. You can watch her tour.
Mm. Yeah.
For free.
Or for the cost of
Disney you get Plus, get a free trial. That's
There you go. Hack the Eras tour.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to use my
Beyond
own.
Sunday as your promo code and get a free trial of Disney Plus. Good luck with that.
Beyond Sunday, sponsored by Disney.
We're just putting that in the universe.
That's right.
I'm expecting Walt or Bob Iger to call me up.
Yeah, hopefully not Walt. If Walt calls you. Whoa.
That was an accident.
Look, any Disney affiliated person.
Yeah.
Jack Sparrow.
Iron Man.
Call me up.
Jack Sparrow.
Woody.
That's right. The genie. That's
If Tom Hanks wants to call me up, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Email us, Tom Hanks.
Colin Hanks Sr.
Colin Hanks too. Any Hanks, really. Taylor Swift themed church service attracts over 1,000 worshipers.
All right. New idea. Get Dan on the phone right now.
This is in Heidelberg, Germany.
Wow. Okay.
A 600-year-old church held an anti-hero Taylor Swift church service.
Okay. Ah. I dig the anti-hero theme. Right. Yeah.
Germany said, it's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
For a large portion of the 1900s, you are correct.
Right.
Nailed it.
You are the problem. So you're doing all right now.
Yeah.
Far enough, far as I know.
Right.
What do I know?
You're okay.
Yeah, about 1,200 Taylor Swift fans reportedly flocked to a historic church in Germany on Sunday to attend worship service featuring the megastar's music.
Okay. So does that count as a worship service?
I mean, it depends. The music is not what defines a worship service, right? So are there elements of worship that are invoking the music to incorporate? And sure, that's a worship service.
Yeah.
After Michael Jackson died, there are a whole bunch of, especially historically black congregations that did worship services all based on Michael Jackson's music. There are liturgies based on U2's music. It's the U2charist is what it's sometimes called.
What?
Yeah.
their early stuff is a little more spirituality attached to it.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, Bono's
Bono thinks he's the Pope.
In his own mind, yeah. They're openly religious about their faith and stuff like that. And some of the earlier stuff had definitely more direct, overt undertones. Can you have an overt undertone?
So overt, it's covert.
Anyway, yeah. So the music is not what makes it worship or not, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think music can enhance or detract from the experience of worship. But sure. There are other elements around it.
Sure. You could sing Bad Blood about Satan.
Sure.
I got bad blood.
There you go. That's you, Satan.
Right. That's it.
We got bad blood. I'm not afraid to admit it. Yeah. Right. I'm so brave. You heard it here first, everybody.
How many of these did you write down in advance? Do you have a list of Taylor Swift songs in front of you?
I just know. Okay. Things.
Good for you.
All right. The Church of the Holy Spirit has always been a place of encounter and exchange. That's why pop music religious service fits so perfectly.
Wait, is the church called the Church of the Holy Spirit?
Why not?
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, parish pastor Vincenzo Petracca.
I'm sure that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's definitely it. He probably has a bad blow with me now. Yeah. Wanted to. Swift's lyrics addressing social justice causes like feminism, racism, and ways she exhibits her faith.
Okay.
You know, she points to the justness of God. For her, faith and action are inseparable. Sure, why not?
Yeah. She's saying that about Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea what Taylor Swift's purports to believe or not. Yeah,
I got nothing. But I would say her lyrics, I can certainly make an argument that I can connect those to my faith with God. Yeah.
Sure. Look, when it comes to sin, shake it off.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, when it comes to Satanism, we are never getting back together.
Right. Karma is my boyfriend.
Maybe let's just mix it up a little bit.
Right.
Maybe,
let's just throw a little new agey in there.
Goodness. All right.
a righteousness through faith.
That's right.
Is my boyfriend.
That's right. Yeah. Harder to fit into the lyric. Here.
Maybe, if they're talking about Samson. Ooh, that's the fellow over there with the hella good hair.
There it is. Nice. Yeah.
So, any other Taylor Swift stuff,
Nah.
Do we want to do a Taylor Swift worship service here?
Yeah.
You do? Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's put it together.
I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I think a pop service would be interesting. Like, I think restructuring some of these songs for this kind of context is fun.
I think if we gave if we're getting ready to go on a mission trip with our high schoolers, if we gave them an assignment, we're like, hey, we're going to plan a worship service and you need to pull from Taylor Swift music, I think they'd be into it. I think they'd try to find stuff that fit the theme and they'd come up with silly puns like what Patrick said. Yeah, I think that'd be
Jesus
fun.
Is my boyfriend.
I don't know that we're gonna get 1200 people in it, but yeah, that's fine.
Yes. Well, I mean, the grand story between God and humanity is a love story.
It is. Right? That's right. It's a love story. Yeah. Baby, just say yes.
Yeah.
It's the one Taylor Swift lyric I know. So yeah.
Jesus is the guy in the heavens coming straight back to earth.
I don't even know which song she's referencing right now. I can tell
it's all Karma. It's like the only song I know. Okay. I know two Taylor Swift songs.
Two?
Maybe.
Did you stay up to listen to her Poet album or whatever?
I haven't even heard anything off of it. No.
I've heard that there are not a lot of bops on there. Not a lot of fun songs.
She's mad, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's
aren't we all?
Calling everybody out.
And also, I could be wrong.
I did. I listened to the new Beyonce album when it came out.
Is this her country album?
Yeah, it's a country sort of a mashup album.
This ain't Texas.
Quite good. Yeah.
Ain't no hold'em.
Yeah.
Right.
I only know that from Instagram stories.
She, she redid Jolene, and it's a really good.
Okay. Yeah. Is this Beyonce or Taylor Swift?
Beyonce.
Okay.
Yeah. Taylor Swift is Jolene.
Hey, because of the event's success, the church plans to hold additional pop music service in the fall featuring music by Billie Eilish and Beyonce.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where they are misunderstanding what drew people into
this
event.
I think it
event.
Was the Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, Billie Eilish was a pretty big deal for a while. I don't know if she still is.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with Billie Eilish or Beyonce. I just don't think that they're going to get the
right.
Is there a musical act worship that you'd be like, yeah, I'm in for that?
I would travel to go see, I want to see this as a worship.
You would drive 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
That's the barrier.
I mean, in 30 minutes, I'd give just about any, if I knew the music, I would give just about anything to try. Queen.
I would like to see the Star Wars soundtrack redone as worship music.
No lyrics. That would be, so lots of possibilities there.
Right. John Williams worship. I am in
for
that.
Sure.
We got some Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. chef's kiss. I'm for that.
Yeah.
I can say
lots of good Salvation music in John Williams.
in a younger me, I did go to Austin City Limits in Austin and to hear Arcade Fire, which is a Canadian
band. Arcade
Fire. And I will say it was amazing. Like it felt worshipful. Like the way they performed their set. Like it felt that way. Which is a good segue to our next section here from our friends at Relevant.
All right.
Who is worship for?
Ooh, me.
You? all worship is for Elise.
Right.
Yeah. This not is, of Elise.
This is
for
by Relevant. That's what. That's who you give credit to in the byline.
Wow. Okay.
But at the end, it says that this is from Kale Neesmith, originally appeared on his blog.
I'm sure that's also right. Yeah.
All right, Kale.
So I don't know if Relevant is just like, hey, we took your blog.
Right.
Deal with it. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I mean... Nobody really likes kale anyway. It's, spinach is ugly cousin, so.
Would you eat a bed of
chicken
nuggets on kale?
I would not eat that kale portion. If we're abandoning all pretense that I'm eating a salad, then sure.
All right. Who is worship for? Do you want to answer that question now?
We already answered it.
Oh, it's for Elise. Yeah.
Done.
All right.
Is Taylor Swift worship for you?
No, I mean, I'm not a fan. Okay. I don't know.
Okay. I would check it. Like, if it were within 30 minutes, I would
go
to.
Yeah,
it
I'd
out.
Go. Yeah. Obviously, if like Lord of Life had like, hey, 11 o'clock is Taylor Swift worship. Well, like, I'm not being like, well, I'm going to the 8:30.
I'm going to wake up early just to not go to that.
It's go there.
Yeah, that is not enough for Patrick to get to the early service here.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to be pretty bored to go out of my way to go to a Taylor Swift worship.
Yeah,
service,
but
though.
I'm also like. I'm more of a nerd about this sort of thing. So, I would go just to like check it out,
yes.
As opposed to like,
just
let me
see what
bring
they're
my
doing.
Notepad and I will take copious.
That's right,
good
exactly.
And bad.
That's right.
Who
is worship for?
Who's worship for?
God.
Okay, interesting. You stand by that?
Yeah,
just God.
I mean, for the moment.
For the moment. Maybe Relevant. We'll tell you something else.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Growing up in a small Baptist church, tell me, learned something at an early age. Our gatherings as the church tend toward formula.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of reasons for
it's
it.
It's called liturgy. We have a word for that.
They don't really do that in the Baptist church, though.
They do. They just don't call it that. They call it a formula.
Small Baptist church, yeah. It's easier. It's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's predictable. It fits inside our boxes. Mm. It's replicable.
Yes.
It allows us to attempt to recapture meaningful moments of the past. All right, what do you think?
I'm about 75% there. Yeah.
Okay, what are you not on?
What was the one she said, one in the middle of like, he. It's... Oh, sorry, he.
I assume Kale is a boy.
I don't know. What Kale is...
Tough to say,
not,
really. Yeah.
not clear enough for me. Anyway, Kale, read the list again and I'll remember it as you say. I'm sorry. I got distracted.
Easier, comfortable, predictable, fits inside boxes.
Fits inside boxes. That was the one where
we don't like that.
I don't think that's the point of liturgy is not to put it, if not to fit into our box. I think that when liturgy is done well, liturgy actually expands our box. And yeah, it often feels comfortable because we've done it for a long time and it's connecting us with things of our past. I'm with you on all that. That's not its primary purpose. It does do those things. Yeah. But I think that it's intended to expand our box rather than fit inside our box.
It's almost, I think about liturgy almost as like a meditative thing, right? Like it's almost like this framework that's familiar, right? Mm-hmm. In which to potentially get a new perspective on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I mean, it's why when you go to the non-denominational church, you sing a chorus and the bridge of a song 18 million times, right? Because it becomes meditative. So you're not, you get to a point, theoretically, where you're not actually focused on singing the song, but you're worshiping the act of this thing that has now become rote because you've learned it and you don't have to be thinking about it anymore.
Yeah.
And liturgy gives you that opportunity where you can enter into a different state of worship because it's rote and because you're not having to think about every single moment that you're doing.
Sure.
Why they do that at non-denominational churches?
I think there's
science
behind
that. I thought they just knew two chords on the guitar. And
well, that's
what we got.
That's why all the songs sound the same. That's a different thing, yes.
Okay. They're not... dumb when it comes to how they structure.
There's intentionality.
There's intentionality behind it. Yes,
there is liturgy there. They just don't want to call it liturgy,
right? Yeah, because they're hip.
Right.
You know, I think when it comes to kind of this, like even like repetitiveness, predictable, comfortable, replicable. Like I have heard from people who do like elder care as pastors.
Sure.
You know, like they some people reach a level where they do not remember their children's names, but they can still say the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
And I think that that is powerful. Like that's really special and really beautiful. I'll also say like I'm a member of like a Facebook group for like ELCA youth leaders. And sometimes people be like, hey, I've got this event coming up for, you know, whatever blankets that we're giving out to kids. Does anybody have a prayer for it?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like,
really?
Why don't you just say prayer?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean a prayer for it? Like,
the blanket prayer.
Just say it. Yeah. Like you can just do that.
Yes.
And so I think sometimes, like, that becomes much more challenging, I guess, when this is kind of your world to, like, step into extemporaneous, you know, or step into in unpredictability.
Yeah.
It's more difficult.
It doesn't even have to be extemporaneous, right? You can write a prayer ahead of time.
Sure.
You have the ability to write a prayer, right? It's not like a sacred, you know, prayer for blankets. Or like, I mean,
yeah.
And yeah, so there are definitely downsides to liturgy. I don't think liturgy is perfect, but yeah, I think it has a very good purpose.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, I did grow up close to like a Southern Baptist tradition where everything is like freestyle. Mm. Like it's whatever the Spirit lays on us in this moment. And we're just going with it. And I hated it. I hated everything about it.
Why?
Because there was a lot of pressure to like fall into that somehow. And it felt very performative to me. I'm not saying that that was the intention of everybody who's doing that. The way that I perceived it, it was very performative and virtue signaling and all these things. And I'm not a freestyle extrovert like that. And I hate being pressured into doing things, especially around my spirituality in front of other people.
Sure.
So I really have an appreciation for the predictability of liturgy. Like, I'm going to say these things. I'm going to say them with everybody else.
Yep. All going to do it the
Nobody's going to lay hands on anybody else or bring up a beef you had, you know, last year in the under the guise of, you know, prayer circle or whatever.
I'll give it time. Yeah, liturgy's got plenty of room for beef. We can
That's maybe instead of a Taylor Swift service, we need a beef service. Yeah. Like, right. Share your beef.
That's right. We call it confession and forgiveness, right. But it's, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Where's the beef?
It's beef. It's beef, yeah.
Where's the beef?
What's up, early 90s?
I know.
Nice throwback, yeah.
I think that's 80s. All right, but like in all relationships.
Where's the beef was totally early
90s. I remember it, yeah.
Maybe, you know, you're just latching on to 80s memories, you know. Like all relationships, our encounters with God are meant to be progressive, not repetitive. What do you think about that?
I think both are true. I think that they should be progressive and repetitive. So I'm not entirely sure what she meant, but I think like progressive. I think kale is a woman's name. I don't know.
I try not to gender my vegetables.
All right.
I respect our brothers and sisters to the south who gender everything. Right. Know, so. That's fair. This is a female chair. You know, you just need to know that.
Kayla. Kalo. how many different groups of people can we offend?
Yeah.
What was the question? Repetitive or progressive? Oh, so
like all relationships or encounters with God are meant to be progressive, not repetitive.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's aspects of both in every relationship that you have. Like,
yeah,
I would hope.
If your like marital relationship was continuously progressive with like every interaction you had, that'd be exhausting.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need repetition and comfort. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 100% on board. Like we fall into patterns for a reason.
Yeah.
Like that those are meant to be comforting. Yeah. If every day was a new adventure with your spouse, it'd be exhausting.
That sounds like work. Yeah.
Yeah.
just say.
No, thank you.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Now, again, all repetitive.
Also bad.
Right. Also bad. Then you're just living in kind of a routine and not actually with a person.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I've heard it kind of long-term relationships described like this a little bit, that like when you're in a new relationship, you have like butterflies and stuff, and it's like going on a roller coaster ride all the time. Like you're always on this roller coaster and it's super fun, but you don't want to be on a roller coaster for the rest of your life. You want to be able to take off your roller coaster pants and put on your sweatpants and go home.
Do you have special pants that you wear?
No, I got twisted up on the delivery, but you want to be able to put your sweatpants on and go home. Yeah. And that's like the comfort of a long-term relationship. Those you can still get on the roller coaster if you want to, but you can also put your sweatpants on.
In fairness, I have no problem wearing sweatpants on a roller coaster.
True.
I've reached the stage in a relationship where our sweatpants are active. Are
your roller coaster pants
more than acceptable for public pants?
Yeah.
I was out walking my dog in sweatpants, and the older guy down the street was in like a tie and a sweater.
Ooh.
And yeah. slacks.
Like Mr. Like, Rogers.
I'm like, dude, it is 90 degrees out here. Like, what are you doing?
You were wearing sweatpants. What were you doing?
I was wearing basketball shorts. Okay. You know? But like, same difference. Like,
short sweatpants.
Why you got your sweater vest on to walk the dog? But, you know, different eras, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
You're not in a long-term relationship with that guy, so you know, he can wear whatever he wants.
Right.
Your opinion doesn't need to validate him.
So anyway, Kale, whatever gender they may be, talks about, you know, excited about the movement of fresh approach to worship that was coming out of people like Martin Smith and Matt Redman in England in the early 90s. Things like the Passion Movement here in the U.S. So,
okay,
yeah, I buy it. You know, like 90s maybe was a bit of a shift worshiply. Many churches are stuck there. It wasn't a simple stylistic change. It was something fresh in the expectation and the movement of God. But now, 15 years and thousands of songs later, there seems to be a new homogeny throughout our churches and our worship gatherings. We've gotten to the point that what was made fresh is now into a formula again. What do we think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why Elise is commenting on every song sounds the same, right? I mean, you have the predictability of, okay, we're going to have verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. Right? Like, that's, you know, we know that's going to happen. And yeah, I think there's an element of that. I also think there are plenty of places where that's not the case. I mean, I just think you have to be willing to look for them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think those worship songs from like the late 90s, early 2000s, one thing we kind of joke about is that if you pulled out the word Jesus or God, they could be like pop love songs.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them.
Yeah. Insert boy or girl name
right.
here.
Yeah. And that was kind of a phase that we went through for a long time.
Jesus is my boyfriend. Yeah. Yep.
In Christian music, which is quite different from like the hymns and even contemporary Christian songs that were around before then.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting shift that we had that I don't know that I love it. Like, there's whatever song that is about the sloppy wet kiss is
how he loves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit much for my sensibilities, but
sure.
You know, I think with a lot of churches, and maybe even the rise of the mega church too, you know, that if they didn't have their own version of liturgy, they did, for sake of how you put on a production like a worship service, have to have a high level of organization attached to it, right? Like, for the lighting, the sound guys, for the timing of everything, like the band can't go freestyle whenever they want.
Yeah.
Like the lead singer of your worship band can't just be like, let's just do that bridge again, because everything is dependent on it being done or following a pattern. So like it had to follow some formulas. And the reality is like whether your church is liturgical or not, I mean, there are aspects of worship that are similar to a performance and similar to like a play, like, and there have to be by nature of like, we have people speaking in a microphone in front of a group of people.
Yep.
You have to do it that way.
Yeah.
Like, and that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's the reality of the way you have to do it.
Yeah.
So like, can worship be performative? 100%. And I think sometimes it has to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like it has to be those things. Just like, you know, when you're crafting a sermon, there are several elements you have to balance, and one of those elements is entertainment on some level, right? Like I need to present my thing in a compelling and interesting enough way that people want to listen.
Yeah.
It's not just enough to be theologically accurate.
Correct.
Or even culturally appropriate.
Yeah.
Because if it's boring, nobody cares. Yeah. those things
I have
don't
found
matter.
That to be true about my life. Yeah.
Yes. Like, so, I mean, I think we're just saying like, even highly liturgical or, you know, even in a church that's highly low liturgy would still have this element of structure to it.
Highly low liturgy. I knew exactly what you meant. It was just funny.
And even in a highly liturgical church, I hope they have elements of like, we are thinking about this kind of like a performance.
Yeah.
Like maybe they won't say like, this is going to be like a play.
Yeah.
But like you have to be thinking that level for the sake of the congregation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get into this. Who is worship for? So far, still with God. Ultimately, worship leaders are there to help foster moments where individuals can connect with God. And our goal as worshipers is to use that time to connect with God. How do we feel about that?
I think that is an aspect of worship.
Yeah.
But I think that it's okay to say, I'm a part of this community and I'm going to come to worship here. And sometimes I'm going to feel like I connect to God more than others. And the fact that I come to worship isn't just about me getting something out of it, right? If we're going into worship and the only reason that I want to stay is because I feel like I connect to God in that place, eventually that feeling's going to go away and we're just going to be left looking for something else.
Yeah.
You know, God is going to be present in that worship service, whether you're feeling God's presence that week or not. And so that's where, for me, it's more about God than it is about us as individuals. We come together to worship God because God is worthy of worship. And sometimes, yeah, we have really meaningful and powerful connections to God. That doesn't have to be every week. Yeah. But we keep coming back because being a part of the community of believers who share in that matters more to us than getting what I need out of it.
Yeah, I think the reality is, like, not every song hits everybody the same way.
Absolutely.
That's just a real thing. And not every sermon hits everybody the same way. Some sermons, people are going to be like, that was great. Some people will be like, don't remember a word.
Yep.
Like, right. I completely forgot every bit of it. Like a Taylor Swift heiress tour. I don't remember one thing that happened.
It was so good that I blacked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I don't remember anything. All I thought about was my grocery order. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And both those things are valid, you know, having those experiences. I think, if your expectation is every week you have that, I had amazing connection to the song and worship and the song and the sermon and this experience, and that's my expectation, is I have that same experience week to week, I think you're going to ultimately be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yep.
But if the church you go to, if every week you're like, I connect to nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to find something different.
Sure.
Right.
Maybe like that, you know, even though you're like, I'm here because God, I want to worship God, but I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't think worship is a chore. Right?
Like, I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So. You got anything else? You gave me a face.
Oh, no, I wasn't trying to give you a face. I was just kind of pondering.
That's her worship face.
this is what I look like. Please don't turn around and look at me while we're singing. I was pondering. I think I'm newer here than both of you are. Well, you got here a little bit before I did.
Definitely newer than Patrick.
Yeah.
Because he's old.
I'm old.
Yeah. And I came.
And yeah, we came a little bit before you. Yeah.
I came from not the ELCA, right? So I was looking for something different than what I had previous experience with. And the thing that was compelling to me, I remember very vividly my first visit to a worship service here, was that, like, our emphasis on, like, social issues being a part of the sermon. And that was a thing that really I connected with and stood out a lot to me. And it had very little to do with the quality of the music, the style of the music, any of that. I remember none of that from my first visit, but I remember that being like a core value.
I'm really curious, what were we talking about?
It was in the prayer that we do. You talk about, like, environmental issues in the prayer, usually.
Okay.
And like social issues, like, you know, Gaza or whatever is happening at the time. And I was like, oh, I've literally never been to
was
a
Gaza
church
then too.
Where we pray about anything against other than abortion being homicide, like, so that was a really interesting hook for me.
Sure. And that's all, right, that kind of thing can happen in a meaningful way because we're not making it about ourselves, right?
Right.
Because all of us collectively at Lord of Life and you know, those who use those prayers, right, we understand that, like Patrick said, I'm not going to connect or feel every single prayer, but these are going to represent the prayers of the entire community. That these prayers are going to speak to some people and to me in different ways. These prayers are going to reflect the prayers of our community, not just me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kale kind of basically, most of this point here on who is worship for is basically like, it's not about the band. Like,
true.
You know,
it's
like,
not about the band.
The bad band.
Does not help. Yeah.
I agree. Like, one of the things I've said before, like, people will have a greater forgiveness for a poor sermon than they will for poor music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that poor music is too big a hurdle. Like, nobody wants to go to a worship where the music is bad. And I can be a part of a church where I'm like, I don't really connect with the sermons, but I think the music is good. Like, I could still, I think, worship there, but I don't know if I could do the opposite, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, in real, I just don't know if I could really do that. Now, you know, Kale will talk about it. You know, it also means finding the temptation to judge whether or not the worship was good by criteria like they sang well or that band was awesome.
Sure.
And, but the most important thing about worship is that it allows us to engage with God. So I think, you know, I think Kale Neesmith here, pastor, so I'm going to say probably Man.
Statistically, probably yeah. still male.
Are yeah. they have pastor in their title?
Cale Neesmith is the pastor and creative director of City okay. Beautiful Church in Orlando, Florida.
Well, Orlando. Oh,
City Beautiful, too. Right. That's, yeah. That sounds like a progressive name.
Yeah. I got this.
Yeah, that sounds like a progressive.
We're finding Pastor Cale at City Beautiful Church.
Right? We've argued about this too much at this point to not know.
who names their church City Beautiful? That's an right. interesting name.
Right. Just, you know, well, maybe Cale didn't name it. Maybe it was already named when they came on as pastor.
All right. Let's find out.
That's okay, while we wait with bated breath.
Yeah. Right.
But it seems like for Cale, worship is ultimately a space that allows us to engage with God. And I think what you're saying, Pastor David, is that worship is primarily for the sake of God and that the engagement with God is secondary. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. So what happens if week to week, you know, you're there, you're faithfully worshiping, but you're not engaging with God? Is that worship?
Yeah, so I got distracted by looking for Cale, who's not listed on their staff site, so I don't know. We're going to have to look into that.
Wow.
Defrocked? Did they get defrocked?
This is adapted from an article that originally appeared on his blog.
Oh.
Mystery solved.
Right.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
But why doesn't Cale work at City Church of Orlando anymore?
City
Beautiful Church.
Yeah.
Anyway. The question was, is it still worship if you're not connecting to God?
Yeah.
So I think there's an important thing here, that worship is intended to be communal, right? And so the community is remembering the ways in which God is present and active in the world and is giving thanks to God and confessing our role in being a part of that and breaking that and all that. Like, the community is doing this together. And so whether or not you are connecting to God in that particular moment, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it's not what defines the act of worship, right? The act of the community coming together and participating in this thing is worship. And sometimes you're going to connect to that and sometimes you're not. And one of the things that I like to talk about, right, is let's say you're going through a particular period of grief or something like that. And you might say, well, I just have zero interest in showing up to church. Well, you come to church because other people are there praying and connecting to God on your behalf, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be some other time when you're really feeling it and you come to church and you're just connecting to God through all the stuff. Well, you're connecting to God in that moment for the person next to you who can't bring themselves to stand and sing the song, right? We as a community, our worship comes together in a way that on our own we can never do. And so, yes, even if you are not feeling like you connect to God in that moment, it is still an act of worship. Now, again, like Patrick said, if every week you're like, I hate everything about this, I'm not connecting to God, I don't understand, or I don't like the sermon, I don't like nothing, to find a new place. That's fine, right? It's not saying you have to go and suffer in order to be a, but if I show up to a community that I find meaningful, that I connect with, and I'm just not connecting with it, that doesn't make my worship less valid. That doesn't make the community's worship less valid.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are a couple times in scripture, and Jesus will reference this from the Old Testament. Like, hey,
sure.
Figure out the meaning of this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Ooh.
You know, like, and he's kind of throwing it down to the Pharisees. And I think he's kind of saying, like, for them, worship, you know, where this was all about sacrifice, right? Like, it was all about following these ancient rituals, and yet it did not actually impact them as individuals or drive them to live out that relationship with God in love of their community and their neighbor and one another. And so I think, like, in the same way, you know, when it comes to, like, worship, whether that's mega church, whether that's small Baptist church, whether that's liturgical church, like, God, I think, is asking for the same thing. Like, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Like, I desire, there is a level of engagement I want you to have with one another and your community, and I desire that maybe even more than, like, you wrote the right words down and said them. Like, that means more. So, like, I think there should be space for, like, maybe we didn't get it right.
Yeah,
maybe the words were wrong. Maybe the band did a bad job. Maybe the band sang a song that was, nowadays we'd say, like, ugh, that,
yeah,
those songs were just not that good.
Yeah.
Or they said things that we don't really believe.
Yeah.
But we were trying to engage with mercy for our community, for one another, and for this world. And I'd be like, I think God loves that worship. Like,
yeah.
God's looking at that worship and be like, great job.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think God is going to hold it against us if we show up to, you know, the pearly gates, which I don't think are actually pearly gates. But if we show up and, you know, what God holds up is that we were too merciful in our worship we're trying too much to make worship available, to make God available to other people. I don't think that's going to be the thing that God holds against us.
Yeah. or maybe we get to heaven and, you know, we do the Lord's Prayer, but everybody has like their own different version. It's yeah. not on the screen, and you're like, oh gosh, come on, can we get right. all get on the right. same page, right. everybody?
Come on, God. You know,
hot take: what are the pearly gates?
What are the pearly gates?
Yeah, if they're not pearly,
I don't think they're like. Yeah, I don't think it's a place like you show up like, right. oh, here's the gate and there's St. Right. Peter and like, right. I've got wings now. Like, I just don't think that's what heaven is going to be like. Yeah.
Oh, maybe we should do a podcast. We did a podcast on what the Bible says about hell.
We did.
Well, we should do one about heaven, shouldn't
we? What yeah. does the Bible say about heaven? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Because I think even like some of the imagery that we talked about in the hell podcast, I think yeah. you could trace back to the Bible, but almost none of our biblical pop culture biblical heaven imagery sure. is actually traced back to the Bible yeah. at all.
Yeah. Like, definitely not pearly gates.
Right.
Yeah. yeah. Or even like Peter's there, like yeah. welcoming you in.
Yeah.
I don't think you get wings. Are you even, you know, you're not chilling on a cloud. Like yeah, none of those things are happening in the Bible.
Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah. Or even like, sometimes the exact opposite of those things are happening sure. in the Bible. Yeah. All right. That's good. That's a good future topic.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're all landing. Worship is for God.
Yes.
And for you and yeah. for the community.
Yeah.
All those things are happening at once. And if you don't feel it, it's okay.
It is okay.
And if the band mm-hmm. sucks, it's okay. But I get it if you're like, I hate the band and I don't want to be here.
No pressure, band.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's just, it's a hard hurdle.
Yes.
If the band, if the music is not good, it's a hard yeah. hurdle.
People can stumble over, like, spoken words and you can get past it. But when you're trying to, like, engage in communal song and you can't even, like, either the lead singer can't find a pitch or the lead musician is, you know, missing notes. Like, it is just way harder to yeah. follow yeah. what people are doing and to feel like you're engaged in that. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the church community, if it's like old Betty on the organ and you're like, she's been here for 40 years and the church community does that and there's right. some grace there. I get it. But a first timer does not know old Betty.
Yeah.
You know, right. like they've not been here.
Old Betty.
They have not been here for 40 years. They just know this is not good.
Yeah, no, I hear that. That's and yeah. I had a point that I was going to make, but I don't remember what it was because I got that song yeah. stuck in my head. Now, so.
Bam-a-lam.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, if you just remember my point real quick. Yeah. That does not mean that we need perfection either. Like we don't need Taylor Swift to come in and lead our worship, right? We volunteer musicians are
not
great.
My worship leader.
Volunteer worship musicians can be wonderful. Paid musicians can be wonderful. We're not looking for perfection. God does not ask for perfection, but it can be a really big hurdle to get past. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's all. All right. So, hey, if you liked this episode, write us in and let us know who you'd like to have come and lead worship for you or what musical artist you'd like to have incorporated into your worship service. We'd love to hear that. BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com, where you can find all 300-ish of our episodes somewhere around there at BeyondSundayPodcast.com.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.